O Satguruji, hear our plea and give us your darshan.
Satcha jo nama tumara bhuli heya dasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi Kao Sunake Fariya Dasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi Kao Sunake Fariya Dasadi. Hoyande Dasade Paja tu pera piare, hoyande rasare, paja tu pera piare, pira de ha mare mare, sunio abajasadi. Pira de ha mare mare, sunio abha jasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao, sunake fariya dasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao, Sunake fariya dasadi. Sache kirpala piyare, teto me java vare. Sache kirpala piyare, teto me java vare. Kala de pinjare chokara de atma jara sadi. Kala de pinjare chokara de atma jara sadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao. Sunake fariya dasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao. Sunake fariya dasadi. Ajay bhaji arja sunave. Kirpala dhanamadiyave. Ajay bhaji arja sunave, kirpala dhanamadiyave. Tere hi charana vicha, lagi rahe yada sadi. Tere hi charana vicha, lagi rahe yada sadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao. Sunake fariya dasadi. Satya Guruji Dardashadi kao. Sunake fariya dasadi.
O Satguruji, hear our plea and give us your darshan. One announcement. This is a reminder that this coming Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th, there will be a two-day meditation retreat celebrating Master Kirpal Singh's life. All initiates are welcome to attend any of the scheduled meditation sittings. And local initiates who plan to take meals at the ashram are requested, please let us know immediately. You may use the link in the email sent out on July 28th. We'll continue in Russell's book, Stumbling Toward God, The Years with Ajab. And the tour has reached Colombia now. And I'll back up just a bit to read where Russell says, Kent Bicknell was Sanchi's and Pupa and Papu's perpetual emergency translator. He was always available, always on call. And because Kent was much more aware of what was going on than I was in the Columbia tour, I'm going to quote extensively from a talk that he gave at Sant Bani Ashram, New Hampshire, August 3, 1977, just after our return home. So this section is called Kent Bicknell's Reminiscences. And Kent said, he talked very frequently about how any initiate of a true master will be liberated in this lifetime. He said that in many ways and in many different forms. At one point he said, I have made my mind up that my initiates are going to be liberated. And later on, that was explained more in some questions that came up in private. He told the story of a man who was doing seva in the court of Guru Gobind Singh. He was handing out prasad one day, and a couple of men came who had been working in the fields, and they were dirty, and they were anxious to have prasad. And this sevadar told them, there, you take that prasad that has fallen on the floor. So they cursed him and told him that he should become a bear. Well, when he died, he came back as a bear. In the meantime, the man's son grew up while the bear was growing up and also went to serve the guru in his court. The bear was captured and became a dancing bear, a performing animal that traveled with the man who captured him. So one time that bear came to the guru's court and started to dance and began to stare at what amounted to his own son. The guru, after a while, laughed and told the boy, you have some relationship with this bear. At which the boy was very surprised. By that time, he was a young man. He said that as far as he knew, he had never seen the bear before. Then the guru told the whole story to him, and the disciple became upset and said, is this the fruit of seva for the guru? I'm going to leave your service if I'm going to come back as an animal. And the guru explained, no, this had to happen in order for him to pay off that karma, but he will be liberated. And when the bear left the body, he was liberated. So people were wondering how this fit with the statement that we've always heard in Sant Mat, that an initiate of a true master would never take the birth below the human body. But Sanchi explained that it's the other side of the coin, that we can be liberated in this lifetime. The point is, he said, the guru can do anything he wants with the disciple. At the time that the disciple leaves the body, it's up to the guru to decide where he goes. You are no longer in the hands of the Lord of Judgment. You are in your guru's hands. And he'll give you what you need. If you need birth as a bear, then you'll get it. But, he said, even those people who, at the time of death, are not having stupendous meditations, if they are loving the Master, and if they are doing their best, they will be liberated. Sometimes the whole concept of Indian mythology began to turn into Indian history for me. The sheer power and immensity of the guru would come through. When he would sit up there on the dais and say that the guru has liberty from God, permission from God, to do whatever he wants. Well, he can liberate the whole world if he wants to, in one glance. I saw that that was true, and it was really awesome. He told a story once, which I had never heard before. After Master Kripal Singh went to Rishikesh, when Master Sawan Singh left the body, he would meditate on the banks of the river Ganga, and the goddess of the river would embody in the form of a beautiful woman and come to pay homage to him. Many times she came and thanked the master for purifying her waters. She said that placing his feet in her waters had made them pure again, whereas usually millions of sinners came to wash off their sins, and her water had become very dirty indeed. You know, I heard that story, and I started thinking, gee, river goddesses were really there coming to the master? And I asked Russell if he had ever heard that story before, and he said that he had, that Cuckoo had told it to him. Only, she added that Taiji could see the lady, and she threw stones at her, because she thought that she was bothering the master, until the master informed her, no, no, this is the goddess of Ganga. So, well, there was one time when a couple came in with some very intellectual testing-type questions, which some people need to ask. We read once that Master called you to Sawan Ashram and you didn't come, for example. At the end of it, after Sanchi had answered all the questions, the man said, I don't see my master's eyes in your eyes. And he said it in a very strange way. Sanchi very politely told him that he respected the honesty of his questions. And then he said, but the thing is, you haven't looked in my eyes. You've been looking at the translator the whole time, which was true. And then he motioned to the wife and said, and you haven't looked at my eyes either. You've been staring down at the ground, which was true. And then he proceeded to talk to them, and while he did that, he looked into their eyes, and they looked into his eyes. I didn't have a chance to say anything to them after that, although it went on for 5 minutes. But the next day, he came in for a group darshan, and on his way out, I asked him, quickly, how are the eyes today? And he said, marvelous. I guess the thing I would have to say about Sanchi, and this was certainly true about Master Kripal, someone once referred to Master Kripal as Mr. Snatchbottom, because every time you thought that you had him figured out, he pulled the bottom out from under you. It seems to be that way with Sanchi. I really had to learn to do the best I could with the orders I'd been given, and at any moment, wait for them to be reversed from the top, and not think at all about things like saving face or anything like that. Many times I refused people, and I told them, absolutely no way that you can see Sanchi. He's retired. He's gone to bed. You'll just have to wait until tomorrow. And the door would open, and yes? Well, these people are waiting to see you. Oh, come in, come in. And I would just chuckle. What else could I do? There was a woman doctor who had asked a question. How could she avoid karmas in connection with her patients? I don't remember the answer exactly, but it got to the point where neither Papu, nor Sylvia, nor I could understand the English version that Papu was coming out with of what Sanchi was saying. Apparently, one of the things that he was saying was that she shouldn't do any bad practices. She shouldn't accept any money for bad practices. Well, we wanted more. We wanted to know what he meant by bad practices. This went on for a while, and finally, he said, "Look, just translate to her what I'm telling you. She knows what I mean. She knows." And it was true. She did know what he meant. One thing he definitely said, never perform an abortion. That's the first thing that he told her. Another time a satsangi brought her dying mother, and Sanchi went down. The lady couldn't get out of the car. She was driven up as close as possible to his house, and Sanchi went down the steps and saw her for 2 minutes. Well, that lady died while we were in Bucaramanga, and the disciple told Sanchi that her death was very peaceful. And Sanchi told her that she had done a very great service by bringing her mother to see him, and that it was on account of that that she had a peaceful death. You read all the stories about the quitters and the people who stayed building the platforms. Kent's referring to the old story of, I forget which master, but he told his disciples to build mud platforms. And every time they did, he would find something wrong with them and tell them to start over. And, oh, go build them over there. And, oh, the mud is not good here. And people started dropping off one by one. And then there was only a few people who stayed building the platforms, no matter what the master said. So you immediately identify with those who stay. But I don't know. While I found that living right with Sanchi is a tremendous blessing, I amounted to Papu's Siamese twin, and if I ever got far away, I was rebuked for going away, and I was told that I should be with Sanchi every minute. Well, at the risk of sounding ungrateful, I would have to say, in all honesty, that I found that to be a two-edged sword. Because, you know, he's the fire, and we are all cold. And we come in from the cold for darshan and satsang and meditation. And we get toasty warm, and it feels wonderful. And then we go out in the cold again, and we start to cool off. And you know what it's like when you stay too warm in front of a fire. I take everything he says pretty seriously. And when he says that you have to be very advanced to live around a saint, I think I have a little better understanding of that. It really hurt me to see my own pettiness and my own weaknesses crop up in front of him. It happened in many cases where I felt that I didn't do justice to what I had been given. Sometimes he talks about things in such black and white terms. Friction comes up among a group, and he says, "Negative power saw how much love you were having, so it just planted some seeds of discord." Well, people wanted him to sign photos, and after a while, we set up shop in the private interviews. There would be a clipboard and a pin, because almost every person that came in would have 5 photos to be signed. He must have signed at least 200 photos, but he didn't mind. Those of us around him were kind of panicking. "Oh, this is really bad, really. This practice has gone too far. We better stop it. No more, no more." And then someone would hand over some photos, and he would smile and sign them. You really don't know. Only he knows. It continually amazed me to see how much Sanchi gives. We tend to think of it in terms of how much we get. If we get only a little, it seems like that is how much he gave. But he gives an amazing amount. And I think of this incident. One night, Sanchi went out for a walk, and no one really knew that he went out. I happened to be with him. We went down to where the North Americans were staying in their little house, and the door was wide open. But the lights were on inside and no lights outside, so no one could see out, really. I looked in, and there was a group of people sitting around talking, and a voice floated out that said, "Gee, it seems like I've hardly seen Sanchi at all today." And there he was, looking in on them. And I thought, you know, how he always is right there looking at us. One person was at the sink, washing, and Sanchi and I went over and watched him. And Sanchi was chuckling all the time. And at one point, the fellow looked up and stared out the window, but couldn't quite see. And Sanchi really laughed at that. Sanchi talked very positively about Colombia as a country with a spiritual future. He loved the country, and the people there genuinely loved him, and he was very happy there. He gave a long talk to the Sevadars in Bucaramanga, in which he said, among other things, that if you are given a seva, then that is your seva. And if you leave that seva to do something else that you want, then you are not doing seva. You know, I thought about that. It's tricky. There was one night when I was following him out of the satsang hall, and Dr. Molina was behind me. And there was no light on behind the corner there. And it was dark. I paused for 15 seconds to take Dr. Molina's hand and lead him around the corner. And then I was far enough behind that I had to run up ahead in order to unlock the door. And in that time, someone tried to speak to Sanchi in Spanish. And he said, "Where's Kent? He's always supposed to be right here with us." And I thought, when he said that thing about seva, it's tricky. The guru's orders are sometimes tricky. He had told me to do something, and that is what I should have done, to be always available. Well, we don't understand what darshan is. I'll tell you that right now. He talked about when Master made him sit up on the dais with him. He would tremble. He was so terrified of sitting next to the Master. We're all so hungry for it, and we want it. No doubt it's good for us. And I know that in my soul. But I also can see very well that I forget who it is that I'm looking at. One of the first things that Sanchi said when he got there was that there was really only one language, the language of love. And that the negative power had created all these different languages to give us a feeling of separateness. There were certain strains involved in being in Colombia, and most of them seemed to come out of the fact that it was a three-way language deal. And as strains came up, I would think, well, here's the negative power at work. These strains really come out of the different languages. And it struck me that one way around that was to get to the language of love. And another way, at a lower level, was to work on being able to speak different languages, which, of course, Master Kripal strongly emphasized in his Manav Kendra scheme, precisely for this reason, to break down the barriers between the peoples. Te amo means I love you in Spanish, and it was one of the several phrases that Sanchi learned. And some of the Colombians learned the Hindi or Punjabi equivalent. And they would say, I love you, to him in Hindi, and he would say, Te amo. And they loved it, and he would roar with laughter. And we will leave off at that point. This coming August retreat is at the time of the anniversary of Master Kripal's final leaving of the body, August of 1974. And so I'm going to read, this is from the September 1974 Satsandesh. This is the last darshan. Saturday evening, August 17th, 1974, at Sawan Ashram. So this is an article. It's not, it's full of Master Kripal saying things, but it's an article prepared by the staff at Sawan Ashram. So Master had become weaker and weaker over the last few weeks. The four-day celebrations for the 117th birth anniversary of Baba Sawan Singh, which started on July 26th and ended with Master giving initiation to more than 1,000 souls. Well, that was followed on August 1st with Master addressing the Parliament of India. And all of this demanded his full attention. The strain must have been tremendous. Although the new dates when Western disciples could visit the ashram had been announced in May, Master allowed nearly 20 to be with him at the end. In spite of his illness, he gave them his blessed darshan almost every evening, sometimes downstairs in the porch, sometimes up in his bedroom. There were moments of such beauty, of such peace. They transcend the memory of his suffering. His humor at other moments was so subtle that any feeling of hopelessness that we might have felt never took hold. Yet there were moments also of terrible foreboding. On the evening of August 2nd, a disciple asked if she could see the Master privately after the darshan, and he said, yes, as long as there is breath. So much love and encouragement was flowing out. On August 6, he told us, when you look at the Master with devotion, you are repaid in kind. And later he said, the realm of the saints is that of all forgiveness. And then there was a spontaneous moment of lightness when Master suddenly leaned forward and thrust his hand towards a German disciple who had expressed some doubts. Here, touch me, the Master said. I'm a man like you. And the young man grabbed hold of the outstretched hand. Master had suffered so much physically in recent years that we supposed that this illness would, as in the past, lift from him in time. Looking back, we can now read the signs that he was giving us that he would soon leave the earth plane. The Master's last darshan talk was held on the roof terrace just outside his bedroom on the evening of Saturday, August 17th. The weather was hot and oppressive Master was on a white bed, sometimes sitting, sometimes lying, sometimes almost unable to speak. There were long pauses, and there were moments of radiant beauty. At least one disciple saw a golden halo around the entire body of the Master. And when he moved a little, this light would remain where he had been, thus forming a golden figure beside him. It appeared as if the Master's divine spirit was already drawing away from his body. But of course, nobody knew at this time how short a period was left. Only 4 days. Master started by asking us gently but persistently if we had any questions. He looked at everyone, but no one wished to speak. After a long silence, he then said pointedly, "No questions, anyone? No? Any doubts? If there are no questions, are there any doubts? Something lurking in the mind? No?" At this stage, it now seems obvious that Master had some final words that he wanted to say. And as he knew that there were, in fact, some things lurking in our minds, needing to be resolved, he drew them out in the form of the following questions, which enabled him to give out what remained to be said. But on this occasion, after a while and without waiting for a question, he made this statement: "These are selections by God. They send the fruit, certain people to administer certain things. They know when to come and when they are going back. They won't let you down, mind that." Then, after another long silence, Master asked again if there were any questions. Someone who was not initiated and who was having the Master's darshan for the first time said that he would bring some tomorrow. But Master replied, "If you have any questions to be brought tomorrow, why not bring them out today? Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Procrastination is the thief of time. If you're not ready, well, that's another thing." And the Master gave an understanding smile. Some anxious moments followed. Master was gasping for breath. A young American then asked the first question: "Master, why don't you heal yourself? You're all powerful." And Master repeated, "Why don't you heal yourselves?" And then a radiant smile appeared on his face, and he asked so sweetly, "Anyone whom you love, if he gives you something, would you refuse it? Tell me, what does he hope for you? He should gladly accept it." Then there was a long pause while the Master was coughing. And at the end, he started looking around again and asked for more questions. Eventually, someone asked, "Is there any worldly desire that is correct?" Master said, "All thoughts coming up are due to two things: either reactions of the past, as you have sown, or outward necessities. As you sow, so shall you reap. Things go round the wheel of life unless and until you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. It is he who takes work from everybody, and we are all mere puppets in his hands. Only then can you escape the reaction of what you sow. You follow? So we have to consider the man body as highest in all creation, a golden opportunity to go back home. We should meanwhile weed out all unnecessary things and do what is to bring us near to God. That's all. And then someone else asked, how may we differentiate between necessary requirements of the body and so forth, and desires which should be weeded out? So Master said, you've got one pair of boots, yes? And then you get another pair of boots also? That will give you a year or so. Those are required for your use. Any number more, very simply, have to be hoarded up in your houses, and they make the atmosphere ugly. We simply add to our own desires. And out of possession, we want to possess everything. All right, anyone else? An American lady who was leaving the following morning asked, about desirelessness, should we not desire to go to Satchkhand? Or is that another trap? And Master told her, whatever brings you closer, whatever goes to bring you closer to God, that should be developed. Whatever helps you to stand in the way of going back to God, avoid it. Just simple living. At this stage, the same man who had said that he would bring his questions tomorrow said, Master, I have read your writings very carefully, to the best of my ability, and I am a non-drinker, a non-smoker, and I am on the vegetarian diet. Do I qualify for initiation? Master smiled. Well, those are the minimum requirements. And this did not put the man off. He said, I would like to be initiated. And Master went on, the main thing is that you must be able to grasp the theory in detail. Then, when you are put on the way, you will put your whole heart and soul into the practice, not half-heartedly or in a slipshod manner. Some dying man, out of desire, may get it. He is put on the way, but he has always been putting off till tomorrow what he could do today. And this is wrong. So please, continue onwards with your practice. A disciple then asked, I just want to pray to you that I develop more love and faith in you. Master told him, that love will sprout forth when you come in contact with the light and sound principle, or the sweet remembrance of the Master. Someone else made a sign to ask a question, and Master said, yes, please, and was asked, what type of life is most conducive to spiritual progress? And Master explained, keeping the commandments 100% and developing receptivity, and then you will have 100% of the fruit. The Master then asked, anyone else? And the last question was put. In some types of work, I'm not able to keep full remembrance of the Master. How can I remain permanently close to you and at the same time do my work? And the last reply was, in the beginning, you see, whatever involves your memory or your brains will have to be done as one thing at a time. later on, when this habit is formed, it goes automatically. You see, just go jolly, and you will also be keeping the will of the master. But that will develop in due course, not in one day. Go jolly. And our tape is continuing in a satsang talk that Sanchi gave here at Santpani in July of 1990. And it was given the title when it was published, The Real Fruit is Inside.
ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵਿਚਾਰਾ
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਆਪਣਾ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਜਿਸ ਨਾਮ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸਮਝ ਸਭ ਧਰਮ ਨਾਮ ਤੋਂ ਮੁਕਤੀ ਮੰਨਦੇ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਦੇ ਸੋਚਿਆ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਕੀ ਵਸਤੂ ਹੈ ਕੀ ਉਹ ਲਿਖਣ ਪੜ੍ਹਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਉਹ ਕੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਹੈ
Now Guru Amar Dev Ji Maharaj tells us his experience. All the religions believe that the liberation is in Naam. But we do not know that what that Naam is, what power that Naam is, whether that Naam can be written in any particular language, whether that Naam can be spoken of. We do not know that what power or what thing that Naam is.
Maharaj Savan Singh kehnde hunde si, agar Naam lafz hunda, ਜਿਸ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਆਪਾਂ ਬਾਣੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਬਾਰੇ 12 ਸਾਲ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਦਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸੇਵਾ ਕੀਤੀ ਕੋਈ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਜਪ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਲਫ਼ਜ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਨਾਮ ਤਾਕਤ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜਨਾ ਹੈ
ਮਾਸਟਰ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਸ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਨਾਮ ਵੇਅਰ ਮੇਅਰਲੀ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਹੂਜ਼ ਬਾਣੀ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਰੀਡਿੰਗ ਨਾਉ ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਹਾਊ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਓਲਡ ਏਜ ਹੀ ਵੈਂਟ ਟੂ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਡਿਡ ਹਿਸ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਹੀ ਡਿਡ ਦ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਨਾਮ ਸੋ ਇਫ ਨਾਮ But just the few words, he would have taken those words and he would have meditated upon those words. But it is not like that. Naam is not just the words. It is the power.
Aap pyar na kehnde hai, oh naam, jo sab khujana da malik hai, oh deh de andar hai, wajood de andar hai.
Lovingly he says that naam, which is the owner of all the treasures, is within your existence, within your body.
ਇਸ ਕਾਇਆ ਅੰਦਰ ਨਾਮ ਨੋ ਨਿਧ ਪਾਇਏ ਗੁਰ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਵਿਚਾਰਾ ਕਾਇਆ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੁਲ ਤੁਲਾਵੇ ਆਪੇ ਤੋਲਣ
ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਾਡੀ ਕਾਇਆ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੋਲ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਹੁਣ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਨਮ ਦੇਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਣਾ ਕਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਮਿਲਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਸਾਰਾ ਲੇਖਾ ਜੋਖਾ ਕਰ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਕਿ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਦਰਗਾਹ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬਖਸ਼ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
Now he says that God Almighty who is within us is weighing things, he is measuring things within us. he knows, he decides that who should be given one more birth in this world and who should be brought back, to the real home and who should be brought to the master and who should be kept away from the master. So it is God Almighty himself who is doing everything and he decides for every being.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਆਰਾਮ ਚ ਰੋਖੇ ਬੈਠ ਕੇ ਸਭ ਕਾ ਚਾਰਾ ਲੈ ਜਾਂ ਕੀ ਜੈਸੀ ਚਾਕਰੀ ਤਾਂ ਕੋ ਤੈ ਸਾਦੇ
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਸਿਟਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਬਾਲਕਨੀ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਇਜ਼ ਲੁਕਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਐਵਰੀ ਪਰਸਨ ਐਵਰੀ ਬੀਇੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਵਾਟ ਐਵਰ ਅਮਾਊਂਟ ਆਫ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਵਨ ਹੈਜ਼ ਡਨ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਵਾਰਡਿੰਗ ਦੈਮ
ਕਾਇਆ ਅੰਦਰ ਤੋਲ ਤੁਲਾਵੇ ਤੋਲਣ ਹਾਰਾਮ ਇਹ ਮਨ ਰਤਨ ਜਵਾਹਰ ਮਾਣਕ ਤਿਸ ਕਾ ਮੋਲ ਅਫਾ कित ही नाम पाये नाही, नाम पाये गुर बिचारा।
आप प्यार ना कहंदे है जेड़ा मन विषय बकारा दा आशिक सी, कोड़ियां कठियां करदा सी, मान वड़ियां दा आशिक सी, जद इह सतगुरु दी नाम दिते मुताबक दसे मुताबक असीं फैले ख्याल नूं अखां दे पिछे सिमरन दे जरिए इकट्ठा कर लैंदे हां, जदों आपदी आत्मा तो अस्थूल सूक्ष्म पड़दे ला लैंदे हां। आप कहण लगे यही मन आपदे घरे ब्रह्म विच पहुंच जांदा है और यही लालां दा बनजारा हो जांदा है, यही विषय बकारां छड जांदा है। मैं आम दसदा हुंदा हां कि जिहड़ी काम क्रोध लोभ मोह अहंकार दी अस्थूल गंढ है ये अखां दे पिछे है, सूक्ष्म जिहड़ी है वो अखां दे पिछे है। जद तक असीं उत्थे नहीं पहुंचदे गे ये तो छुटकारा नहीं पा सकते। महाराज जी दसदे हुंदे जिहड़ा मन पहला दुश्मन हुंदा है वह मित्र भी बन जाता है।
Now he says that the mind which was fond of all the worldly pleasures, which was always seeking the bad things and which was collecting the shells, which was not interested in doing the true merchandise, when we came to the master and when we started doing the devotion according to the instructions of the master, when we came to the eye center and when we removed the astral and causal covers from our soul, the same mind, when we make him go back to his real home Brahm, when he reached the Brahm, then the same mind started helping us in dealing with the jewel, with the gems of Naam. Because often I have said that as long as we are below the Trikuti or the second plane, the mind is not helping us, he's always pulling us down. Because the physical existence of the lust, anger, greed, attachment and egoism is at the eye center, and astrally, in their astral form, they reside in the Trikuti, but beyond that they do not exist. So when we rise above and when we go beyond the Trikuti, then all these passions do not find any place over there. Master often used to say that in the beginning the mind is like our enemy, but when we make him reach his real home, afterwards he becomes our friend and helps us in our journey towards our goal.
Jisne koi meva khada hai ohi oda swad das sakda hai. Mahatma ne naam di kamai kiti, naam nu pragat kita, ohna nu pata hai ke naam japan de ki fayde hai, naam kis tarah amolak hai, mull nu nahi milda. Ehi guru amar dev ji maharaj kehnde hai, naam किसे मुल में नहीं मिलता गा और किसे हुकूमत दे जोर ते नहीं प्राप्त कर सकते गे, सिर्फ गुरुआं दी दया नाल, महात्मा दी दया नाल ही असीं इस नूं प्राप्त कर सकते हैं।
Only he who has ate the fruit can tell us about its taste. Mahatmas have worked very hard, they have gone within, they have done the meditation of Naam, they have tasted the Naam. That is why they are the ones who can tell us about the qualities of the Naam. They are the ones who can tell us that what the Naam is. So that is why Guru Amar Dev Ji Maharaj also says the same thing over here. He says that Naam is such a thing which we cannot get by paying any price. We cannot obtain it because of our might or because of our power. We can get it only from the masters who have manifested it within them, and only with the humility and only after going to the perfect masters can we receive it.
Agar naam di koi keemat hundi, ameer log khareed lende, gareeb reh jande. Agar chatur log hi naam nu prapt kar sakde ta bhole reh jande.
If there was any price for the naam, the rich people would have bought it and the poor people would have been deprived of it. If only the clever people could receive the naam, the innocent ones or those who are not so clever would have not received the naam.
Mol kit hi naam paye nahi, naam paye gur bichara, gur mukh hove so kaya khoje, परम पुलाई।
हुण गुरु अमरदेव जी महाराज कहंदे है जो गुरमुख प्यारे हुंदे है ਉਹ ਕਾਇਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵੜ ਕੇ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਖੋਜ 'ਚ ਲੱਗੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਮਨਮੁੱਖ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਬਜਾਏ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਜਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਪੋਥੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਭਾਲਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਪਹਾੜਾਂ 'ਚ ਭਾਲਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਹੋਰ ਤਰੀਕੇ ਨਾਲ ਬਾਹਰ ਮੁਖੀ ਉਸ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਖੋਜ ਵਿੱਚ ਲੱਗੇ ਹੈ।
ਨਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦ ਗੁਰੂਮੁਖਸ ਔਰ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦ ਬਿਲਵਰਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ, ਦੇ ਗੋ ਵਿਦ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਬੋਡੀ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਸਰਚ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਨਾਮ ਓਵਰ ਦੇਅਰ, ਬਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦੀ ਮਨਮੁਖਸ ਵਾਟ ਡੂ ਦੇ ਡੂ, ਦੇ ਆਰ ਈਦਰ ਸਰਚਿੰਗ ਫਾਰ ਗੋਡ ਇਨ ਦ ਹੋਲੀ ਬੁੱਕਸ ਔਰ ਦੇ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਊਂਟੇਨਸ ਔਰ ਦੇ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਦ ਹੋਲੀ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ, ਦ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ ਆਫ ਪਿਲਗ੍ਰੀਮੇਜਸ, ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਟਰਾਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਸਰਚ ਫਾਰ ਹਿਮ ਆਊਟਸਾਈਡ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਸਰੀਰੋਂ ਪਾਲਣ ਕੋ ਬਾਹਰ ਜਾਏ ਨਾਮ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਬਹੁਤ ਬੇਕਾਰ ਦੁੱਖ ਪਾਏ।
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਗੋ ਆਊਟਸਾਈਡ ਆਫ ਯੋਰ ਬੋਡੀ ਸਰਚਿੰਗ ਫਾਰ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਟੇਕ ਦ ਨਾਮ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਅ ਯੂਜ਼ਲੈਸ ਜੋਬ, ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਨਾਟ ਗੈਟ ਦ ਨਾਮ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਗੈਟ ਐਨੀਥਿੰਗ ਐਕਸੈਪਟ ਦ ਪੇਨ।
Our closing bhajan is on page 231. This is Sanchi's bhajan. Avo, avo, Shakirpala Sai. Come, come, Shakirpala Sai. O beautiful one, come and give us your darshan. Your divine darshan breaks the pain and unites the broken hearts of many births. Your beautiful glance is unique. It is the giver of life. O beloved, my heart is yearning. The injuries of the separation are felt, O Lord. We are the blind ones from many births. Do not allow us to be harassed. Graciously open our closed eyes, O Lord. Your Naam is the true destroyer of pain. Ajab is the lover of your feet. Come, come, Shakirpal Sai. O beautiful one, come and give us your darshan. Avo, avo, Shakirpal Sai, page 231.
Avo, avo, Shakirpal Sai. Sonam ke darshadikade devo avo avo sha kirpalasai avo avo sha kirpalasai sonam ke darshadikade ikad devo avo avo sha kirpal sai tera darshai lahi dukh tora deve tere darshai lahi dukh tora deve kai janamade tute dila chora deve kai janamade tute dila chora deve avo avo sha kirpa sai sone anke dandishadika devo avo avo sha kirpala sai tere soni jalakaniraliye tere soni jalakaniraliye ho jivana bak shanavaliye ho jivana bak shanavaliye avo avo sha Kirpal Sai Sonam Ki Darishadika Devo Avo Avo Sha Kirpal Sai Danga Mere Dilanu Nagia Pia Danga Mere Dilanu Nagia Pia Satana Vichore Dia Vajia Pia Satana Vichore Dia Vajia Pia Avo avo sha kiripala sai sona ke darisha dika devo avo avo sha kiripala sai asi janamade andena Pia Asi Janamade Andena Pia Bande Akia Dia Karakola Pia Bande Akia Dia Karakola Pia Avo Avo Sha Kirpala Sai Sonam Ki Darishadika Devo Avo Avo Sha Kirpala Sai Tere Nama Satcha Dukkha Nashanka He Tera Nama Satcha Dukkha Nashanka He Ajeva Tere Charana Dasika He Ajeva Tere Charana Dasi kahe avo avo sha kirpala sai sone anke darisha dikha devo avo avo sha kirpala sai
Your Nam is the true destroyer of pain. Ajab is the lover of your feet. Come, come, Shakir Palasai, O beautiful one, come and give us your darshan. May God bless us all.